Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Amen. I maybe just want to give a little testimony tonight. I was going to preach something, but I just felt led to just give testimony. That'd be okay with you? And I would just maybe a small group, so it'd be good just to share a testimony. It was on my heart, and I watched that last song there. It was speaking about touching the hem of his garment, you know, when Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood. And hearing the reports over here of people which are sick and you just need that touch from the Lord. It'd be good maybe just to testify of the goodness of God, the power of God, and the healing power of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I just wanted to read a little scripture out of the book of Job. And it's the scripture where it speaks where, Job chapter 1 verse 6. And it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth now thine hand, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." A little bit later on, we read also of Satan coming before the Lord, and Satan said, and the Lord allowed Satan to strike Job's body. Praise God. So, well, let's just bow our heads for prayer before we get into the testimony. Heavenly Father, this night we just come before you in that precious name of Jesus, Lord. And we're happy, Lord, once again to come, Lord, and share from your word and give testimony, Lord. And I pray that God, you might have something for someone, Lord, here today, Father. Maybe somebody that's listening in, Father, may just speak to their heart, Lord, or touch their bodies, I pray. Lord, we just want to just commit it all to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant it, Lord, just give me help as we share this testimony for a few moments, Lord, I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please take your seats. I got some notes written down here. I was going to preach on the subject of the commandment to go forth to restore, but it was just, as I said, just coming to me just to give testimony. I don't know if you've ever heard that testimony before. Maybe some of you have. I know Brother Tommy has, and maybe some, but maybe there's some here today, or maybe listening in, that haven't heard this testimony. And it's always good to testify.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, the Bible says they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And I believe that God gives every one of his children a testimony to give, and that can, you know, your testimony. Some people might think, well, my testimony is just not much of a testimony. But you need to remember it's the testimony that he gave to you. Praise the Lord. So we each one have a testimony. But I just like to share my the testimony tonight of how that God let me go through this experience. And I believe there was a reason why he allowed me to go through this experience. That I could come back and testify to the healing power of Jesus Christ. To the miraculous healing power of Jesus Christ. Praise God. God can raise up from the very, when everything looks like it's gone. God can touch when it looks like it's just impossible. God can turn things around when all hope's gone. That's been the testimony of many, many of God's children. But I would just want to share with you tonight my little testimony on that subject. Praise God. There was a time I'd been a Christian not too long. And the year was 1984. But prior to that, and at the time we weren't married, I used to go up and visit my wife in the Northeast. And because I was at that time living in the Midlands. So I would go and see her at the weekend, and over the weekend, then I would come back and go back down to the Midlands. But prior to this event taking place, I'd been opening my Bible. And every time I opened the Bible, it was to the book of Job and to that scripture. There was a day when the sons of God came before the Lord, and Satan came also with them. And the great, and what Satan said to God. So every time I would open my Bible, I would open it to that scripture. See, God will always warn you or show you what's coming. But very often, as I did, I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it meant. But I just knew that somehow my attention was being drawn to it. And I thought, well, that's strange. What does that mean about the sons of God coming before the Lord and Satan also coming with them there? So it kind of got my attention. But it would be that every time I would open my Bible, it would be turned to this scripture. And let me say right from the outset, I'm not setting myself up as any kind of a Job figure. I'm not. What that man went through was far, far worse than I would ever have gone through. But God uses the scriptures to show us these things. And so, as I say, I'd be opening my Bible and looking at the scriptures there, and it would be in that scripture, there was a day when the sons of God came before the Lord and Satan came also with them. And before I get into the testimony, it's amazing, isn't it? If Job could have only looked behind the scenes in his trial and seen what was going on. That man went through a great trial, but if he could only look behind that curtain, as it were, and see what God really thought of him. Praise the Lord. His comforters came along and said, Job, you must be a hypocrite. You must have sinned. You must have done something wrong there. And God's judging you. Actually, that's exactly what happened to me. There were people during that time, my friend and I had been preaching at a certain place, a Church of England there amongst the young people. And there'd been a real stir. And the people were getting saved and the Holy Ghost getting really born again of the Spirit of God. And when this event happened in my own life, I remember the vicar of the church there saying, he's brought it on himself. It's God's judgment on him. But you know, it was a strange thing. But anyway, God was giving me the scripture and showing me the scripture there. Not that I understood it. But anyway, 2 weeks later, I've been up visiting my wife, Sarah. Always remember, it was on the 21st of February, Sarah's birthday. She always says anything like that. I always do it on her birthday. Not intentionally, but that's what happened. It was the 21st of February. And I would come in the morning. I'd been there over the weekend there. I was due to get up and to go back home to the Midlands. And as I got up, all of a sudden, I felt into my stomach a searing pain. It was almost like somebody had shoved a red hot poker into my stomach. And I sat on the edge of the bed there, thinking, literally in shock and thinking, what on earth is that? What's happening to me? And the pain became so intense. But I felt that I needed to go to the bathroom there and to be sick or something. And as I went to the bathroom there, I got there and as I thought I was going to be sick, what I did was bring up blood. And I knew enough to know that if you're bringing up blood, that's not a good sign. And I don't know what must have happened. I don't know if I fainted or passed out or something on the landing and must have fell and made a noise or banged the toilet seat down or whatever it was. But my mother-in-law shouted up and said, what are you doing? And I remember calling down to her and said, Eileen, I don't feel so good. And she said, what's the matter? I said, oh, I've got this terrible pain in the stomach there. And I said, I think you're going to have to get a doctor or you're going to have to get somebody to come out. And she was a bit hesitant to do this because she thought, you know, she didn't really want to do that. But by now, the pain's getting more and more intense. And I don't know what happened next, but I remember, I think I must have passed out. But the next thing I remember was being back on the bed there, laying there and just literally crying out. And as I'm crying out, my head faces to the wall. The bed was up against the wall and I'm turned around and facing the wall there. I just felt like the hand of God lift off me. And that's a strange experience. You know, the Bible says that we're kept by the power of God. And God is with us. And very often we don't realize that. We're not aware of it. But let me tell you something. Let God lift his hand one time off you. And you will realize that God really was with you. Whether you were aware of it, whether you knew it or not, whether you felt it or not, God was with you. But in that instant there, it just felt like the hand of God lifted off me. And I remember crying out. and saying, Lord, where are you? And there was just like a wall of silence, nothing. And by now the pain is so intense, and I'm literally crying out in pain. And Eileen came up at that time and saw me and said, well, you know, asking what was the matter. I said, you're going to have to get a doctor. Well, she went downstairs and called for a doctor, and they couldn't come. This was about 8 o'clock in the morning. She called for a doctor, and the doctor couldn't come out there until about 11 o'clock. And I remember saying, I said, Eileen, that's no good. I said, you're going to have to get someone, because I don't think I'm going to last till 11 o'clock. So she went downstairs again and called her sister there. My wife's aunt there, and she called, and she came across. And she just took one look and she said, Eileen, you need to call an ambulance. Well, she went downstairs and called for the ambulance there. And they said, well, the ambulance is on the way now. They're going to come and get you and take you to the hospital. And so I was so relieved about that, because now the pain is so bad and so intense. I just didn't think I would really stand it for much longer. So they came, the ambulance came along there and got me prepped and prepared and ready there. Got me on a stretcher, took me up to the ambulance. And I remember Eileen coming with me up to the hospital there. As they're taking me to hospital, and as they get me to the hospital there, and on the stretcher, and they're wheeling me out of the ambulance and on the stretcher to go into the casualty department, ready to take me up onto one of the wards. And as I'm going in there, all of a sudden I hear a voice speak to me, and it says, "You won't die, you won't die." And I looked around, there's nobody there, and I thought to myself, and I didn't even think of dying. That thought had never entered my mind, but that voice said, you won't die, you won't die. I thought it could have been maybe one of the attendants, but there was just nobody there. Anyway, I thought no more about it. They took me into the hospital, put me in one of the little side rooms there, and they're getting ready to examine me, get me prepared for whatever's coming, and get me ready to go, maybe go down into the surgery or whatever it is. And I'm in the side room there, and the pain is so bad, I'm just pulling my hair to get pain somewhere else in my body. Or then I'm hitting the side of the trolley with my fist to get pain somewhere else so that it would take away from the attention of the pain that was going on in my stomach. Because by now, and I was making such a noise, such a racket there, the nurse came along and she told me off and said, it's a disgrace, there's other people here, you're going on like that. That nurse actually came along to me a little later on and apologized, because she said, we didn't really know what was happening or what you were going through. But I said, look, you're just going to have to get someone. So they came along, got me prepared, took me up onto one of the wards, Ward 12 it was. And as they're bringing me up onto the ward there, and I think I was still in my pajamas, actually, because it was the morning time, I just got up. And as I came under the ward, and came through the doors, the elevator doors, to go under the ward, I always remember at the end of the corridor of the ward there, there was a doctor. And as I come through, she just looks up there, and as she's looking at me, I just on the trolley just leant forward like that. And when I did, blood, it was just like a deep, almost like a coffee color, came up, just soaked my pajama top. And I could remember seeing the look on her face. She actually became the color of the coat she was wearing. She turned white. Well, they got me just down there and got me prepared. Got me ready to go down into the theater there to be looked at, and got me prepared to go down for that and examine and so forth. I remember they were wrapping you in tinfoil to preserve body heat. They actually told me afterwards, you were the color of those bed sheets. Anyway, they get me prepared. They take me down to the ward. As I'm going down they take me down to the surgery there. And as they take me into the surgery, I remember the doctor, I think it was the anesthetist, examining me, preparing me. And he was just, I forget what he said to me. But all I can remember saying to him is, please just put me out. You know, give me that, just put me out. So eventually they obviously did put me out. They cut me open, got a look inside, and they couldn't find anything. So after the examination, they zipped me back up, or put metal clips in you and zipped me back up, because they cut my stomach open to get a look inside. And on examination, there was nothing there. Now remember, this is a spiritual attack. And sometimes a spiritual attack, the doctors do all that they can to help and try and do something for you, but they can't deal with that spiritual side of things. It takes Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. It takes the power of God. So anyway, they look at me, examine me, they can't see anything particularly wrong with me, so they fastened me back up and put me onto one of the, they were going to put me onto a ward. Fortunately, they put me, they said, we'll put him onto the intensive care unit. They put me down into the intensive care unit there that night, and I remember coming round there, and I wanted to have a drink of water because I was very thirsty. And of course, after that, I wasn't allowed to drink, so I was, they say I was getting all kind of irate about that, but during that time there, in those next few days, it's almost like the powers of hell were released. I remember my father-in-law saying for 3 days, there was a tremendous satanic oppression. He said on the third day, it lifted. And the doctors and so forth said, on that third day, things started to turn around. They said, we don't understand it. We can't understand it because, or what has happened. But he said, on the third day, things started to turn around. I got to know, and it was interesting. Yesterday, we were down at the Air Museum there at, where is that, Gary? Ulster, is it? Yeah. But next to it's the Mays Prison. And that was kind of interesting because that took me back to the time that I got to find out during this time there were prisoners in the Mays Prison praying for me. Converted prisoners, became Christians. They were actually praying for me. They were praying for me all over the world, but in the Mays Prison they were actually praying for me. How they got to know or how they got to hear about this, I really don't know. But I did get to find out that they actually had been praying for me. But during that time, in those 3 days, there was like a tremendous satanic oppression. I remember the first night of being down there on the ward, and my lungs collapsed. They collapsed twice. This was the first time they collapsed. And I remember laying on the bed there, and all around me, I just got this, I didn't see them, but all around me, there was a sense of demons. They were going around and around. I could feel them in the room there. I could just feel them going around me. And all I could think to do in that time was to cry out, I couldn't even think of a scripture to speak. I couldn't think of a scripture to say. But all I could think to do during that time was, get away from me. You can't touch me. I'm a child of God. Praise God. Get away from me. You can't touch me. I'm a child of God. And they came along and they put me on a machine there because my lungs had collapsed to cause me to breathe. I'll never forget it. They're forcing a thing down the back of your nose and down the back of your throat. It's a horrible experience to have. But anyway, they eventually got me like that and put me on that machine there. So it was doing my breathing for me. Also during that time, as I say, my lungs collapsed twice. During that time also, my heart stopped. It stopped 17 times. They actually said to Sarah, my wife, we weren't married at the time, she said, Sarah's family, my family was in the Midlands, and said, you need to get his family because he's dying. So they got in touch. They actually thought I was Dutch or French because the address of my home at the time was Netherlands, High Street, Reading. So they thought I was from Holland. And the name Beecham, it's got a funny spelling to it. So they said, is he foreign? And they said, no, he's English. But so eventually they got in touch with my parents, got them to come up there to be with me during that time because they really thought I was dying. And during that time they said, we've got him from minute to minute, as short as that. There's nothing more we can tell you, but during that time, they tell me that my heart stopped 17 times. For some reason, it started up again. And they couldn't understand these things. Also, my kidneys stopped functioning during that time. In fact, they actually described it as a complete internal organ collapse. Everything internally just collapsed. The lungs, the liver, the kidneys, everything. And during the time the kidneys stopped, I was hemorrhaging blood from the kidneys there, and I think they said about 70 units of blood. And around the bed, they had bottles and machines and tubes and things, monitors all around the bed. If you've ever been in an intensive care unit, it's like another world than a hospital. You go into a ward in a hospital, but you go in the intensive care unit, it's almost like being in another world. It's kind of a spooky place to be in, actually, but if you're very ill like that, it's a good place to be in. Anyway, so they had these monitors around me, and they've got so many tubes and drips and everything else stuck into me there. In fact, I got to find out a little later on that I had the most tubes put into me in the history of that hospital. They say the whole bed was just covered. And they were actually getting people from London or professors and all over the place from Scotland, Edinburgh, to come or question and see what the problem was here, because they'd never ever seen anything like it before. So they were coming down and trying to figure out what was going on there, and they couldn't understand what was taking place, but they were coming along, and they're actually fetching student doctors and student nurses in to come and see how it's possible to stick as many tubes and things into a person there to get them into a person, obviously for their learning there. But during that time, I'm going through this and I'm coming in and out of consciousness. Now, I want you to know something. In that time, I was pumped, obviously full of drugs and all the rest of it. Now, and as a result of having the drugs, I was having hallucinations. Now, there's a difference between hallucinations and spiritual experiences. Because somebody said, well, that was just like maybe an hallucination. I know what an hallucination is, and I know what the presence of a demon is, or a supernatural being is. So during that time, I'm laying there, and I've got these drugs, and I'm having all kinds of these strange things. Some of them were funny, some of them weren't funny. Some of them were pretty gruesome, pretty nasty, and I wouldn't want to talk about those things. But it just the way my mind was at that time, I was just talking to everything I thought was there. I thought there were people with me in the room. Obviously, in an intensive care unit, you're just in that little unit yourself. There's nobody behind you. But I thought there was somebody sat behind me, and I remember talking to them and saying, can you see the TV all right? And I told my family when they came to see me, I said, well, these people won't speak to me. And they were telling me, they said, well, there's nobody there. But I got all these things behind me there, and I was talking to it. And then one particular time, there was a fire extinguisher. Well, I got it into my head that that was the vicar. And so I was trying to rebuke the fire extinguisher. So crazy things like that were going on. Your mind's in such a mess. And I can only say God bless those nurses, because they certainly put up with something when I was in that place. I don't want to say some of the things I said to them, but I told them to repent, but I told them to repent in not a very nice manner. That's as much as I'm going to tell you about it. I was there during that time, and God bless them. They were very good and caring for me. So they're looking after me and so forth. But during that time also, I just sensed there was that darkness and there was that presence. It just kind of, it was just such an awful atmosphere. And I didn't know at the time. Afterwards, of course, you look back at those things and say, yeah, that's right. God was showing me from the Word of God what I was about to go through, what I was about to experience. During that time also, and as I say, I had that experience with those demons there, and they just seemed to be all in the room, and I could just sense them. And they were so real and so near. And I would say to the nurses there, can you feel that? Are you aware of that? That they're here now. Well, I got one of those nurses so terrified, she couldn't come in the room. She wouldn't come in the room unless she had somebody with her. I said, but don't you sense it? They're here now. And she wouldn't come to into the room alone there. But another time I would look down at my arm and it seemed like all the flesh was hanging off. And I cried out and I said, nurse, and she came, and as soon as she touched my hand, you see, that was an hallucination. You could, and she said, there's nothing wrong with you. Things like that. But those spiritual experiences, they were real. And you could just feel it and sense it in the room. Then my family that were in there looking, came to visit me, they would sense that when that would come, I would just go very, very quiet and say, they're here now. I can sense them. I can feel them here. And as I say, they were praying for me. They were praying for me over in the Mays prison. They were praying for me all over the world, I got to find out. And things like that. I had, you know, many, many people praying to me. I had Catholics come to me and say, I burn a candle for you. Now, we don't believe in the Catholic religion, but I certainly appreciated that they were praying. Praise the Lord. And things like that. One particular day, and they're all trying to figure out what's going on there, and they're trying to get my family ready for what they thought was going to come, and I was going to die there. But they came along and they said to my parents at the time, well, we thought we were going to come and tell you he's dead. And they said, but for some unknown reason, things started to work right. His kidneys started to work right. His lungs started to work right. His heart started to work right. You see, that's not my faith. That's the prayers of God's children. That's the miraculous power of God. You see, God can take something that's gone and bring it back. Hallelujah. I like what the scripture says in the book of Job, where it said, the book of Job, it says, I'll restore all the years the palm worm, the cankerworm, and the locust have eaten. I got to thinking about that one time. How can you restore something that's eaten? There's nothing to, you know, you restore something, it's got to be there to restore. But God said, I'm going to restore something that's not there. I'm going to restore something that's been devoured. There's no way for it. You see, that restoration is an act of the spoken word of God. It's a creative power. It's a creative act of God that will restore. Praise the Lord. But no matter what condition we come to, God is able to raise up. God is able to bring us through those things. Praise the Lord. Maybe it's time for us to go. I don't know. But if it's not, there's nothing can take you. If it's not your time, there's nothing can take you. God can bring it back. He can raise up. He can heal. He can restore. He can deliver. Praise the Lord. One particular time during that time, there were many experiences, but this particular time they were taking me up to go and get an examination there. And they brought me to the to go and get an ultrasound. That's what it was. It was an ultrasound. And they wheeled me into the room there. Obviously, I'm in the little side room waiting to go in to have the examination. And as I'm standing there, all of a sudden, standing over me was Satan. Now, somebody once said to me, how do you know that wasn't some kind of a doctor or somebody in the medical team? This being, now I know what the presence of demons are, but this being that was standing over me, and as he's standing over me, I didn't see his face, but I saw his shape, a big figure, big powerful thing, standing over me and repeatedly driving his fist into my stomach. In the spiritual realm, I could sense that. I didn't physically feel it, but repeatedly, over and over again, repeated blows into my stomach. But the presence of that being, the Bible calls, there's no way you can make that real to someone, but let me tell you this, you'll never tell me there's not a devil, because I've met with him. You'll never tell me there are no demons, because I've met with them. There are the powers of darkness. The Bible said he gave Paul a ministry to come and deliver the people from the power of Satan. Amen. There's a power goes with him. But praise God, we have a power. Amen. Praise God, we have a power. And the scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Sometimes we can make the devil so big, we forget to realize that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. And so as this being is standing over me, he's repeatedly driving his fist into my stomach. And the presence of that being, the Bible calls him the destroyer. That's what he is. Satan's purpose is to destroy you. Every man or woman that's ever born, the purpose of the devil is to destroy your life. He's not too fussed how he does it, but his purpose is to destroy you. Jesus said, the thief cometh not, but for what? To kill, steal, and destroy. That's the purpose of the devil. That's why he wants to come and destroy a life. He wants to destroy it physically. He'll destroy it emotionally. He'll destroy it mentally. He'll come to destroy it spiritually. But Jesus said, hallelujah, I am come. Praise God. You can't stop the thief from coming, but you can't stop the shepherd from coming. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. We thank God for his overcoming power and for his overcoming grace. As I'm standing in that room, the presence of that being was complete hatred. Complete and utter hatred. If I could use the term, and it's a bad way of terminology, a bad way of expressing it, but it was perfect hate. All that being was a destroyer. The Bible tells us that God is love. Amen. But Satan is the other way. He's the other end. Satan is death. He's destruction. He's hate. There's nothing in that. You know, the devil, very often people think and say, when a person's lost or he dies and goes to hell, the devil rejoices. The devil doesn't rejoice. He can't rejoice. There's nothing in him to rejoice with. He's just pure destruction. He's pure hatred. He cannot appreciate anything because he's death. What a place hell must be. When people reject Christ to go to that place. You know what hell is? It's a place where God isn't. It's a place where Jesus isn't. All that Jesus is, praise the Lord, hell is a place where he isn't. He's the author of light. Well, hell's a place of darkness. Praise God. Through that experience, I'm going through that experience then, as that enemy, like I say, you can take the most evil man there is in the world. There have been many, many evil men, many, many terrible people, despots, rulers, evil people, dictators. But it doesn't matter who it is. Every one of them had an appreciation, a love for something. It might have been a perverted love. It might have been warped, whatever it was. But there was a capacity to appreciate something. There was a capacity to love something. They speak about Hitler, that he loved music, he loved art. But in that man, evil though he was, there was the ability, the capacity to appreciate. There was a capacity to love. But in that being, that's not there. It isn't there. He's a destroyer. He seeks to destroy and bring to nothing. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that God gave himself and gave his son to redeem us. Amen. To pay the price, as we spoke this morning. Amen. Praise God. To raise victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. As I'm coming through that experience, I went back down onto the ward. My father-in-law's in there visiting me. And of course, they'd known that I've been having hallucinations and all kinds of crazy experiences. And I said to him, I said, Bob, Satan's tried to kill me. And he thought I was having, you know, like another hallucination, another strange experience. He said, has he? I said, no, no, Bob. Satan came to me in that room and tried to destroy me, tried to take my life. By the grace of God, I came through that experience. You know, as I said a few moments ago, the church were praying, there were people praying. They say on the third day, it lifted. And from that time on, I began to get better. But I came out of that experience with this testimony, that no matter what that condition is in anyone's life, God is able. God is able to heal, to save, to deliver, to raise up. God can do it. Now, that wasn't my faith that did it. That was the grace and mercy of God alone, and obviously the prayers and faith of other people. Praise the Lord, that brought me through that experience. If it's my time to go, then God would have allowed that. But if it's not your time, you know, the Bible said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of all his saints. If Jesus tarries, we all have to go. But if we're here for a purpose, if we're here for a reason, if it's not your time, God is able to raise up. He's able to heal. He's able to restore. He's able to touch. Praise God. That touch of God in healing and salvation and deliverance. We thank God for those things. But God brought me through that experience. And I came out of it. And as I went to see the doctors afterwards, they said, well, we don't know what happened. We don't understand what happened. You see, what was taking place, they didn't realize it, but something was happening in that spiritual realm. Satan was allowed to strike and to lay his hand on me. But there came a time when God said, that's as far as you go. That's as far as you go. Praise God. And then from that experience, God raised me up there with a testimony that God can heal. God can save. God can do it. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. You know, I know today we, many of us, you know, we in our homes and in our families, we face many, many things. But I want you to know it's all in God's hands. It's all in God. Even the most desperate situations you're going to face are in his hands. If you're a child of God, you're in his hands. Praise the Lord. And he's able to bring you through it. He's able to bring you over it. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Just a little short testimony I wanted to share with you. Just to kind of encourage you and to let you know that no matter what that situation, what that circumstance is, God is able. Amen. Praise the Lord. Should we just pray? Precious Father, I pray that you will take these few short words that have been spoken here this day in this little group, Father. I pray that God, you'll quicken them to your people, Father. Lord, if there's people here, I know there are, Lord, going through maybe similar experiences in their families, Lord. I just pray that God, you'll be with them, Lord, that you'll speak peace to their hearts, Heavenly Father. And I pray, God, that your healing hand, your healing touch will be upon the lives of those which are affected, Father. I pray that you'll go down to that hospital room, that hospital ward, and touch your children, Father. I pray you'll go to that room, Lord, and touch that body, touch that person, touch that brother, touch that sister, Lord, with your power, with your healing touch, Father, and raise them up in the name of Jesus Christ. Be an ear to them, Father. Drive back the enemy, Lord. The Bible said the enemy, that destroyer is coming to kill, to steal, to destroy. But you're the great shepherd, Lord. Just rebuke him now in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch your people with your presence, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Should we just pray for a few moments? If anyone in this room just needs a touch from God, amen. If anyone here tonight just needs a touch from God, just while we're in prayer, just while we have our heads bowed, won't you raise your hands to God right now and say, Lord, I want you to touch me. God bless you. Amen. Lord, I want you to touch me. That man has testified of what you did for him, and you're no respecter of persons. Lord, I want you to touch my body. I want you to touch me right now with your presence, with your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, as those hands are lifted before you, Lord, I pray. Touch that brother, Lord. Touch that sister, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let there be healing, Lord. Let there be, hallelujah. Oh, now, I challenge you to believe it now. I challenge you to believe it now, my brother, my sister. Lord, your presence is here. Lord, your spirit is here, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we would rebuke the devourer. We would say, loose him and let him go in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, raise up in the name of Jesus. The touch of that nail-pierced hand. Touch that brother. Touch that sister.
Yes, Lord.
The swish of your garment, Lord, that's among us now. Bring deliverance to that captive, Lord. Break those chains of bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your presence that's here right now, Lord. We thank you for that quickening that's here right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, those that are listening, maybe on the tapes there, reach out to them, Father, and touch them, Lord, with healing power. Raise them up in the name of Jesus Christ. If they're on the sickbed right now, raise them from that sickbed, Lord. If they're in a place of despondency, Lord, in their lives, Father, touch them right now with your presence, with your anointing, with your Holy Spirit. Lord, your presence that's here now, Lord, touch your people. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That brother, that sister that's in that hospital room, touch them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let your hand be upon them, Lord. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding be upon them right now. Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Touch your people, Father. Touch your people. Lord, you walk the shores of the Galilee. You walk those towns of Capernaum, Lord, of Nazareth, Lord, of Bethany, Lord. Yes. Everywhere you went, Lord. We sang that chorus at the beginning there, oh, of that woman that reached forth her hand, Lord, to touch but the hem of your garment, Lord. Oh, God, help us to touch the hem of that garment today. Help us to reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Oh, God, open our hearts, Lord. Open our minds, Lord, to receive from you tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, just a simple testimony, but your presence is among us, Lord. That holy anointing is here with us, Father. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. If you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. Or if you just need a touch, just raise your hands and say, Lord, I want you to touch me right now. Lord, I'm sick. I want you to touch me in my body. Lord, I just need to do it while His presence is here, will you? Do it while we're in this atmosphere. Do it right now. Believe, my brother, my sister. Reach out and touch the Lord. As He is in this, passes by right now in this little congregation right now. Don't you know Jesus is here? His presence is here. His Spirit is here. Oh, may we reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. I remember in that hospital there. Oh, praise God, when it all looked over, I was dying. Lungs collapsed, kidneys failing, heart stopping. But hallelujah, Jesus passed by.
Hallelujah.
Jesus passed by. And He said, Satan, that's as far as you go. Now let him go. Now let him go. Hallelujah. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. If you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. To get a hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus is passing. Do you believe He's passing this way right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is passing this way. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. If you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. To get a touch from the Lord is so real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, He's passing. Yes, He's passing this way. This way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is passing this way. Praise God. Let's just keep an attitude of prayer. If anyone needs prayer while the presence of God is here, while that His Spirit is here and the way it is, I just invite you to come forward. We can pray with you today. Amen. Don't let it pass you by, my brother. Don't let it pass you by, my sister. Praise God. Don't let it pass you by. Forget about what anybody else is thinking, what anybody else is saying. Let this be your night. Let this be your day. Say, Lord, I want that touch. I want that touch. Amen. As He passes by, you'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart cry. He's passed by this moment. Each needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out, touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's fast by this moment. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Say, Lord, I want you to touch me right now.
Yes, Jesus.
Don't just look and let it pass you by. Yield to it. Praise God.
Yes, Jesus.
It's not going to be for too many more times now.
Thank you, Jesus.
While Jesus passes by, reach out and touch the Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Jesus.
Amen. Oh, Father, it's your work, it's your kingdom, it's your power. I give it unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, be glorified. Lord, we just want to reverence your presence, Lord.
Yes.
We just want to respect your presence, Lord. Father, have your way in Jesus' name. Have your way in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Passing this way, this way.